We're back on In Focus here on News Radio KMAN. Brady Bowman with you. In studio, we have K-State Vice President Communications and Marketing, Jeff Morris, and K-State Dean of Libraries, Lori Gatch. Again, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, 785-537-1350. We're talking about the aftermath and continued recovery effort when it comes to Hale Library, again, where a fire started on the roof on May 22nd. It'll be 2 weeks ago tomorrow. And one of the silver linings was not just the response, how cohesive it was, and just how on the spot everybody was, but it's something that if there wasn't that sort of response, it could have been so much worse. I know when I got to the scene, looking up at where the smoke was billowing out of, I knew it's like, I'm pretty sure that's kind of where a lot of the special collections pieces are. And I was really, because that's stuff you can't really replace. So these are historical documents. You can't put a price tag on them, but they were unharmed.
Right. We were very worried about that collection for the very reasons that you mentioned, Brady. It's really irreplaceable material. The University Archives and Special Collections is on the fifth floor of the library, and their materials are actually on the fifth floor and the four and a half floor, I guess you could call it, the half floor underneath. And we were very fortunate to only have some smoke damage in those areas, but no water. And so we really consider the archives and special collections pretty well saved by the work of the effort of the firefighters on the roof to not have material and fire come into that area. The other place that is, at least for now, knock on wood, holding up quite well are the murals that are in the University Great Room, or the Harry Potter Room that our students call it now. When we had those murals restored several years ago, the folks at the carpentry shop on campus created a diversion so that water would, if we ever had water in that room, it would flow around the murals and not over the top of them. And that system worked, and the murals are still remaining in good shape. We're keeping an eye on them very closely, though.
No, that's really, I did not know that. That's really interesting. That's good. It's good thoughtfulness on their part, because you can never know when stuff like that's going to happen.
And we had had problems with water in that room before, and we thought we had invested in this conservation through our friends at the K-State Libraries, and we thought we would go one step further and add a little protection system there.
I also want to remind folks that another great part is just a response from K-State, from emergency service personnel, et cetera, is that nobody was hurt in this. And, of course, it's the timing of it just a week after graduation, so you probably didn't have the traffic in there that you normally would have had. But, again, credit, I think it just immediately everybody was evacuated, and good credit to everybody there that nobody was harmed.
Well, it was kind of interesting. This is one of those times when the alert system and the emergency systems work the way they're supposed to. You know, people were orderly and people left. And we are fortunate that it wasn't finals week or something where we have a building full of people and we have to make sure that they've all been alerted. In this case, people did what they're supposed to do, and the responders were there very quickly, and they got on it. So, again, it's nice to see the things that you plan and that these things work the way they're supposed to.
Because I'm sure the smoke inside, and I think I've heard that from a few firefighters, that again, from the outside, it just doesn't seem like too much from the outside. Especially sometimes the smoke would billow out quite a bit, but they were saying that inside it was quite the ordeal. And I guess really they didn't want anybody inside the building for maybe that whole week. Or if you were, you had to have a gas mask or something.
Have a respirator.
Right. Going back to some of those special collections, we've been describing them as some historical, priceless things, but maybe let's get a little more specific about some of the cool stuff that you do have in collections.
Well, the University Archives, which is part of Special Collections, is the history of K-State. So we've got old yearbooks, we've got the newspaper, we've got all the presidential papers from the presidents of K-State, documents related to our history and growth as a university. The history of all the departments and colleges on campus. So it really is irreplaceable material. On the special collections side, we have a large collection of cookbooks. We have one of the largest cookbook and cookery collections in the country. And we also have materials related to military history, to graphic novels, children's literature, lots of things that would have been very hard to replace.
And dating back, just for example, what's probably the oldest artifact in that collection?
It would be a cookbook that goes back centuries.
Centuries.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, and you know what? I think I remember taking a class that it was a history-related class, and I don't remember exactly what the name of the class was, but I think it was like maybe a history of cooking or history of food sort of thing. And our professors talked about some of those cookbooks and that how that's a really nice window into the past, and really seeing how people lived is seeing how people ate.
Right.
Dave, did you have something? Seems like you got something on your mind.
Just out of whimsy, I was curious if that cookbook had anything for my new Instapot.
Yeah. We probably have an Instapot cookbook at this point.
Oh, I was referring to the one that goes back centuries.
Oh, the one for the goes back centuries. Yeah. I doubt it.
No microwaves.
No.
Probably didn't call for Velveeta. Yeah.
No.
Probably no call for that.
But just like Brady said, you know, the cookbook show history. You can see when different products came as farming advanced, different crops that were available, things mm-hmm. to do with canning, all different kinds of stuff.
And probably from influenced by people from different countries, too.
Exactly.
And that's one of the things, like we had a cookbook that the church I grew up in,
mm-hmm.
my mother put that together back in like 1980, and it's got so many old German heritage recipes.
Right.
And that's one of the things I think that... Was that a cookbook from someone in the U.S.? Was it a U.S. cookbook?
No, it's a European.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
but
my.
We love those church lady cookbooks.
Oh, aren't they all?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're the best.
They tell you so much about a
mm-hmm.
community.
Yeah, my grandma could make some mean sugar cookies that's in there.
And so there's no damage to any of that, no damage to, because I know you got a lot of computers and stuff like that with water damage. Was there any... computer damage or anything like that?
Yeah, we're still assessing the computer damage. We have, and this kind of goes back to the fundraising and the insurance question too. You know, when you have something like this happen, you start to incur expenses immediately, but you aren't getting the dollars to cover those expenses right away. We had to buy 125 new computers for our staff and relocate our staff around campus. They don't have their offices, so we spent last week relocating about 125 people to different locations around campus. They all need computers to do their work, so we have to go out and buy 125 new computers. That's not something we've budgeted for, so something that this fundraising at least helps us have some resources to cover those kind of expenses.
And that just, you know, when you talk about timing of things, when, you know, universities has to do a $15 million cut next year, KU announced a $20 million cut. So it's especially difficult when you have something like this happens and you're already kind of trying to keep things tight anyway.
Right.
So that's a tough thing. Looking at just the Hill Library building, maybe just some background just historically on it, because I know one thing that we've had in some of the news coverage is that it's kind of a mix. You have some new parts and old parts. The fire started in the old part, but maybe just a little background on Hale.
Yeah, Hale is really four generations of buildings put together. The fire and the worst of the damage is concentrated in the 1927 historic Farrell Library, which was the first freestanding library on the K-State campus. That was added to in 1955 and again in 1970. And then Hale Library, as you see it today, was expanded and renovated in the mid-90s and just had our 20th birthday not too long ago.
Well, I think what looks like with all the efforts and fundraising efforts, I think we'll have another 20 years pretty easily. Here in studio with K-State Vice President of Communications and Marketing, Jeff Morris, and K-State Library Dean Lori Gatchkin. If you have any questions, comments, 75-537-1350 is the number to call on this Monday morning. And talk about some of those fundraising efforts. If people do want to help out and donate, what is the best way for them to go about that?
There's a link at the KSU Foundation website called Help for Hale, and that is the place to go. And we have gotten over 300 contributions so far, a little over $30,000 donated. So we're very much appreciative to all of you folks in the community who've made a contribution to that fund.
Very good. And like Jeff, like you mentioned, that it was a renovation project was about to start. I guess $6.5 million is what that renovation project was for just the first floor. And And now that just kind of gets a little bigger now.
Well, as Lori said, that project just got bigger.
Yeah.
So I was thinking when you're going through the renovations in a couple of years, they're saying, oh, and in 2018 and 2019, we had another renovation of the library. It's going to be as a result of this. So where we're looking forward, I mean, I think part of our message to the community is we're going to come back strong and better than ever. And we're really, there's a lot of work to do, but we're doing a lot of, you know, visioning. And from every disaster, there's an opportunity. And one of the opportunities is to look at what the library of the future is going to look like. And as we go from there, because, you know, technology changes and the way people use information changes. What's interesting is you would think that libraries might have gotten outdated, but actually they've become more important. And it really is the heart and soul of our campus. And everything we do from academics, research, social, people tends to have this focal point that somehow goes through this center of campus. And ours is physically located in the center of campus. So it's metaphorically and physically there. So that's really, I think it's really important as we look forward to see how do we make the heart of our campus even stronger.
And that's a good point. I'm glad you brought a lot of that up, because it is amazing the evolution of libraries, just in general, just not just Hale Library, but just the evolution of libraries just in this new information age with the internet, computers, et cetera. But Hale has also evolved with that, as you would expect. What's some of the biggest changes as far as libraries that you've noticed? Maybe not just in technology, but maybe just in philosophy, just kind of being this sort of catch-all place that it still is, I think, is the main point. People probably thought, like Jeff was saying, that it'd be something of the past, but there's more of a need for libraries now more than ever.
Yeah, I think besides technology having a huge impact, which of course it did, you know, you look at Hale, and Hale as we know it today in the mid-90s when it opened was right at the cusp of the internet. You know, we were just starting to see the birth of the internet and the World Wide Web, and when you look back 20 years and see the dramatic changes that has had on library services and access to library resources, it's really has been transformational for us. What libraries are today, beyond the technology, though, is becoming community centers, becoming centers for students to come together and work collaboratively and learn collaboratively. You know, people now go out into workplaces where they're expected to work in teams and work in a collaborative environment. And we try to replicate that environment in the library by the kinds of places we give students to study and learn. So the notion of library as place really has not gone away. It's just changed over time to meet the needs of the faculty and students.
I will say I would not have passed algebra if it wasn't for Hale Library, because some of my classmates, we would go and do our homework there. Like, I would not have done it on my own anywhere else, but it's like, you know, I'm in the library, we're all here doing this, so it's like, I'm going to just focus and actually, I hated algebra, but I'm going to focus and get this done, and it's because of the library, because it was just that, once you're there, you just got yourself in the zone, and I think a lot of students could probably echo that.
Yeah, one of the things that we were planning for this first floor renovation is 18 collaborative high-tech study rooms that students could reserve and use just for the purpose you mentioned, to study as a group for an exam or to work through a problem in a project for a class, to even like network to a class at another university and have some kind of dialogue between the two of them. So we still continue with those plans, and as Jeff said, the project just got bigger now.
I think that's always just the magic of libraries, especially you'd always feel that when you walk into Hale. For sure, is that you walk into a library, especially a library like Hale, and there's just this air of knowledge, right? It's just this feeling of like, this is a place where you try to broaden your mind a little bit. This is a place where if you need to research something, you got all sort of, whether it's a book, an old cookbook, taking advantage of the computer stations. And that's another great thing about Hale Library, and just K-State libraries in general, especially as I learned through history classes, is just the library's databases that you have online, I think, are really impressive and something a lot of people aren't too knowledgeable about. It's something we don't talk about a whole lot, but a wealth of resources there.
I think the other big resource that the library has that's really important, especially to mention in this context, is the people. We have a wonderful staff who are very dedicated to service to our users. They're working right now to figure out how do we provide services, how do we go in and teach classes, how do we work with faculty on their research, how do we work with students on their term papers when we don't have a physical library building to go to now. And so we're thinking very creatively about how we provide those services. We've got branch libraries in Seton Hall and in Cardwell Hall, and we'll provide services through those branch libraries. And now we've worked out kind of a unique arrangement with the College of Business where we will set up a library outpost in the lobby of the new College of Business building and provide services through that point.
Oh, that's very exciting. I didn't even realize about some of those other extra libraries in some other buildings. And we do have a phone call. We'll go ahead and take it. Go ahead, caller, you're on in focus.
Yes, good morning. We're very, very fortunate that we didn't lose that whole library. I've been here long enough that I saw the old Vet Medicine building burn, the library burn, the church, not the library, the auditorium. I was out of town when Mrs. Jim was burned, and today that was arson. I saw it 2 days later. Also saw there was another building that I saw burn. And I've heard people that have been around a long time say, well, think about it. Those buildings, some of them are over 100 years old. And the wood in those places, and if you can see that wood, they say that it's, kind of, it's just like a matchbox. It's gone. I don't care how many fire departments you have, you're not going to stop it. And they were very fortunate here a few years ago at Anderson Hall. Wouldn't that be a tragedy? The very first picture of anything in Manhattan shows Anderson Hall from Aggieville. So I'll tell you, we have to salute our fire department. We used to have a K-State Fire Department that students operated, but they were so fortunate that we got such a good fire department here in Manhattan. They're pretty much surrounded by fire stations. So I guess that's just a little bit of history. Maybe somebody knows, maybe don't. So have a great day, and we're very, very fortunate that didn't burn to the ground.
Thanks for that caller.
Yeah, thank you.
And again, I'll just continue to. I don't think we can thank Manhattan Fire Department and everybody who helped out enough, because the response was incredible, and we probably don't have those special collections still if they didn't do what their work they needed to do. Let's take our last break of the hour. We'll come back. More in focus on News Radio KMAN.